After all the jacks are in the boxes and the clowns have all gone to bed.
Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G here with my buddy, as always, the Bruce Hall.
Wow, what a long week we've had. What a long week we've had. And it's been hot, people.
Yeah.
It has been toasty. We had the warmest day since 1934 in metropolitan Washington 2 days ago. And I had a doubleheader that night that I coached, managed, played third base for, and we got out of there. Let me tell you this quick story. This is unbelievable, really. I've never been in a tornado. Never been in one. I've seen a funnel cloud.
Yeah.
I've seen a water spout on the Outer Banks, a real one. But I've never been in a tornado. So anyway, we get in the cars. It's beautiful. It's been perfect from the time we started at 5 o'clock till 10 o'clock when we finish. We're in southern Maryland in a town called Waldorf for you people out there. It's about 40 minutes from Washington, D.C. And I got to tell you, you know, I knew where everything was in Waldorf because we ate at Applebee's before the game. In order to miss traffic when you coach these summer league college teams, you don't want to be in traffic in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area, ever, rush hour. So we leave around lunchtime or so, get up there early, eat a good late lunch, get, you know, Gatorade, ice, water, the whole nine yards, go to the ballpark, take BP, which we took, you know, in the cages because it was so hot.
Yeah.
And because it was like 20 degrees cooler underneath the stadium than it was outside. And we swept a doubleheader. So we're done. And we get in our cars. There's emergency networking going on in our cars. Everybody knows this because everybody starts, you know, texting everybody. These guys are 20, 21, 22 years
old. They couldn't
old.
Instagram, though.
No, they couldn't walk over to my car and go, "Coach, there's a tornado somewhere around here." So we got on, and I said, "Look, you know, remember the Hooters that was next door to the Applebee's where we ate lunch? Yeah, yeah. Let's go there and wait the storm out." We didn't even get a mile down the road, and signs were flying across the road. One almost hit my windshield. I'm talking about a stop sign or something. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was a speed limit sign because I saw a number go by. And I said, "All right, this is it. We went about 60, 70 miles an hour to Hooters in Waldorf. And by the way, great service, lousy food. Worst wings I ever ate in my life.
You go there for the service.
So. I went there for the shelter, Roy. That was all I was going there for.
Right. Anyway, that would be my excuse, too.
I don't even park in a parking space.
I had to go to Hooters.
I don't even park in a parking space. I park next to the curb, and everybody runs out. And we probably ended up getting about a dozen kids in there. The lights went out twice in Hooters. You could hear the wind blowing. Anyway, dinner later, watching TVs inside, the power came back on. They couldn't take orders for a while because God knows if they had to actually use a pen and add stuff up and keep records. If they don't have electronic stuff to order the food, they haven't got a clue how to do it. So we waited 15 minutes, ordered. We drove home we took Route 5 to the Beltway, mm-hmm. which is 495. And we're hearing about Arlington is like toast.
Yeah.
Alexandria is toast. Reston, where I live in Virginia, down trees everywhere. Vienna, power outages. They had over 1.5 million people out of power at the time. So we don't know if we're going home to power or not. So we drive all the way home, and luckily, I live in an area where there's not a lot of... Oh my God, it's the ice cream man. Roy, go outside and give me an ice cream cone. Anyway, to make a long story short, we get home, I got power, I got air conditioning, but we ended up having to bang the game the next day because this is true. You can go to calripkinleague.org. Seriously, do this, people. Cal Ripken, you know who that guy is, league.org. And go to our CRLCB website, and there's a story about what happened at the Herndon Braves Alexandria Aces game. They're in Herndon, which is where my son went to high school, 10 minutes from my house. They're playing a ball game in the stadium there. They got a real nice little stadium there. It's a bandbox. You can hit balls out of there pretty much at will. And you know, they're sitting there. It's the top of the ninth inning. The Alexandria Aces are in their dugout, and the Herndon Braves are in the field. This wind burst comes up with rain, knocks the roof off the dugout on the visitor's side. The roof flew from first base all the way to the football field in the air. Nobody got hurt. A guy had to go to the hospital who got hit kind of in the shoulder, kind of
by the dugout?
By the dugout going over him. He probably was standing up or something. Got hit. And of course, everybody made their way to their cars, got in their cars, got the heck out of Dodge. But we didn't play the game the next night because A, we didn't have a dugout roof, and it was 105 degrees again. And B, you know, these kids probably sat around without, you know, they have host families, sat around all day, pretty much the next day without any air conditioning.
Yeah.
And you know what you do? What do you do when there's no air conditioning? You go to the mall, what I do is go get a hotel room. That's the first thing I do. I get a hotel room so I got a place to go later. And it's cold. I make sure it's cold. Like the town center.
Your AC work?
Go to the Reston Town Center and stay in the Hyatt. Get a suite. You know, you'd put 30 people in a suite with sleeping bags. Anyway, and go to the movies. Just go do a marathon. But anyway, it's been real hot. I know it's been hot in New York. I know it's been hot in Atlanta because the Nats have been down there, and it was 105 degrees, and Steven Strasburg almost passed out on the mound.
He only had three innings.
Yeah, he was...
Exhaustion.
Yeah, he had his mouth wide open. There was something wrong going on there.
That's the second time in his career that's actually
happened. Well, look at him. He's got a very fair skin. He's one of those guys that can't... No. He's like Matt.
I understand what you're saying.
He's like Matt. He's white, real white. Can't go out in the sun without getting pink.
It's a disease these days when it comes to the summer.
It is a disease. But anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, Roy. And you're going to talk about the NBA draft.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the draft right now. I want to get into it.
You just want to jump right into
it? You know what? I don't want to waste a lot of time on this because we knew who the number one pick was going to be.
Yeah.
But we didn't really know anything about the next 25 guys. And you educated me this. I want to thank you.
Because
I went
welcome.
On Twitter just messing with you. And I went, NBA draft, snore, snore, snore.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear the only guy that said anything bad. You went, hey, man, it's a great draft. It's deep. We're going to be cool. And I figured, what?
Yeah,
I got a great partner on Sundays because if he gets excited about the NBA draft, it's yours, Roy. Yeah. Take it away. Now, let's start at number one and why he got drafted.
Yeah, Anthony Davis. There's not much really you can say bad about the guy. The guy tore it up in college, won a national championship in college, ran through the tournament, which a lot of great players have done in the league. You know, here in New York, there are our own Carmelo Anthony. He did the same thing. I mean, not to the level that Anthony Davis did, but he won a national championship. And the guy did everything. He's got the unibrow.
He's
you know?
Solid defensively,
he's,
too.
Yeah, he's a beast. I mean,
but he's not big yet.
He's not huge yet, but as they showed a graph of his growth through high school, where he entered high school, he has
a new
word.
I've invented the word growment. I'm going to use it in friends with Facebook please, with friends.
Please
tonight.
Do. It'll be a word by next year in the dictionary. Oh my God, made it so
growment
will make it. And he was 6'2" going into high school, and I believe he's 6'10" now.
Yeah.
So. The kid's still growing.
Late bloomer.
He's a kid. That's
probably going to be 7 feet.
That's one of the good things about drafting young. The kid. I mean, he went to college for 1 year, but
baseball does it.
Yeah, he's still growing,
yep.
and he's going to be a beast at the next level. I really, really love what the Hornets did. Not only did they take Anthony Davis first overall, but they moved up and got Austin Rivers out of Duke, who's Doc Rivers'
That's
son.
His son, right?
Yeah, and he's a beast. He lit it up at Duke. They're never the powerhouse. They're the powerhouse.
Now, was he
but
a guard?
More
was he
the,
like a two or
yeah,
three?
He played the one and the two. And
okay.
Duke, I say they're never a powerhouse in athletic ability. They're the character guys.
They're
good
McDonald's
guys.
All-Americans.
And they know how to work it. Whereas UNC and lately Kentucky with Calipari are the run-and-gun kind of guys. So you're getting a good character guy out of him,
We're going to be back shortly, but for the first time in generations, people, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and to protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS, we'll be right back.
Shine the emptiness down on my bed. The tiny island sags downstream. Cause the life that lived is dead.
and the wind.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way.
Hey, I'm done.
Yeah, darling, go.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's also Bruce Hall Karaoke Day. So we're making sure.
I love karaoke.
Runs in here. And the NBA draft, you're exactly right, man. I mean, it was deep. And I know you didn't think it was going to be.
You know what? You educated me. Listen, what's your website?
Sportsmancave.com.
Just follow Roy. He knows more about the NBA than any white guy I've ever met in my life. That's true. It's absolutely true.
Well, thank you.
I can't.
Hey, you haven't met many white guys.
I cannot be an expert. I cannot be an expert. Well, you're pretty damn white. Says Matt. Look at you. You're both sunburned.
It's the Irish, right? He said.
You're both
Irish. It's a disease.
Irish. So let's
Start
go. Hey, so Roy, let's go over 2 through 10. Let's go.
All right. Well, yeah. Anthony Davis obviously went number one. And before we jump into the 2 through 10, this is one of the deepest drafts that I've seen in a long time. And I actually
and
sat down
know,
and watched this draft start to finish, which. It's only 2 rounds in the NBA, and when you get in the second round, it's usually kind of a who cares factor. But it was deep. I mean, there were guys who you knew when you watched at a big level play go in the second round. And Michael Kidd-Gilchrist went number 2 to the Bobcats.
You really liked him.
I liked him, but I don't know if I like him in this spot. I really liked him.
Why did they draft him so high?
Michael Jordan does things that you.
Oh, he drafted Kwame Brown.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
forgot.
And he's a small forward out of Kentucky, so 2 Kentucky kids went 1 and 2, and they're national champions, and, you know, he did a lot of good things there, but I don't know if I like him to Charlotte. Now, he's going to start. Charlotte, I couldn't name you a starter on Charlotte. I can't name you a guy who plays for Charlotte. So.
And you know the NBA.
So anybody who Charlotte
took. So you
know
I don't know anybody.
Anybody who the Bobcats took was going to start. Now, they went big, but not biggest. Usually when you're starting a team, when I'm starting a team, I want the biggest guy on the playground. And I thought that was Thomas Robinson out of Kansas. And they take Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who I don't know, maybe he's a little bit more athletic than Robinson, which
maybe
I,
more upside, but Robinson
maybe.
Was a beast, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He blocked shots, he rebounded, he ran the floor.
Yeah.
And he could shoot like a 15-footer.
Yeah, and as they would say on the playground, he had the boards on lock.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this pick, but maybe he plays out. Maybe Jordan knows something I don't. He hasn't in recent drafts, but maybe he got it right this time.
Real quick, how many Kentucky guys in the first round?
Ooh.
Was it 3 or 4?
I think it was 3. 1-2 and the 1-2. 1-2 went 1-2. And then that might have been it. I know UNC had...
Yeah,
UNC had 4 total go.
They had 4 guys go. I'm so
there
glad.
There was 3 in the first round.
I'm
for,
so glad
Kentucky.
We didn't get a Carolina guy. I really am, because I really didn't like the guard.
4.
Yeah,
4 Kentucky guys went in the first round.
Did they really?
4.
I thought it was 3. Look, well, that just goes to show you, I don't know anything about the NBA. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm listening to Roy Edwards educate me about the draft. Okay, keep going now.
Yeah.
I know who got the 3rd pick.
Yeah, number 3 was the Washington Wizards, and they took Bradley Beal. Which
I'm trying to act like a hey Ted Leonsis, I love you, buddy. So let's get a winner here sometime.
I like the Bradley Beal pick since the trade with the Hornets went down. They brought in Trevor Ariza and Okafor, and that kind of let them not take Robinson,
right?
And they were allowed to take Beal here in this pick, right? Exactly. So because you during the week. Or last week, you heard me talking about how I wanted Thomas Robinson.
Right.
And if the Bobcats took him, then I wanted Robinson.
Right.
And then the trade went through, and I'm like, okay, this frees up Beal, who's a good shooter. He's a good defensive player. The Wizards, you know, with trading away Nick Young, needed a shooter. And Bradley Beal, I think that's that guy.
Real quick, this has to do with the Wizards, who nobody cares about hardly. But, you know, Blash. Is he a 3 or a 4?
I think he's gone. I think that.
Oh, jeez. Well, there you go. We don't need to worry about him.
Yeah, I think the trade with
Are we going to get anybody?
I think the trade with the Hornets
and
drafting
and
Bradley Beal.
Get the money?
I think he'll be arbitrated. And I think he's gone. I think you've seen the last of Andre Blash in Washington. They got the 4th pick is what confuses me. Is Deion Waiters out of Syracuse to the Cavaliers?
I saw him play. He's okay.
He's decent. He's a good player.
He didn't impress me. I saw him play against Georgetown
twice. Syracuse was a very good basketball team. They were deep. I really liked Syracuse last year. I know I got the chance to watch him in the Big East. I went to West Virginia, and I saw this guy play. And obviously, I was
he's a player.
He's good. He's very good. It just confuses me at the number four. I feel like it's a stretch. And at five, you saw the guy who I feel like the Cavs or the Wizards or the Bobcats could have or should have taken in Thomas Robinson. I love this guy. He's a big bruiser. He's going to have the boards on lock. And now you're talking about Cousins, who came out of Kentucky.
Yeah, another Kentucky guy.
With Robinson.
Right.
Now, the Kings could be good. They're definitely going to be good on the boards.
They were getting better this year anyway.
Yeah, they're going to be better. They're not going to – I mean, don't look for the Kings to all of a sudden jump into the playoffs or anything like that. But youth is a movement now in the NBA. You look at the Indiana Pacers, the youth that they had this past year. So the Kings could be somewhat of a sleeper. You look at Portland Trail Blazers. Next, they took Damian Lillard out of Weber State. I honestly don't know much about this guy, so I'm not going to pretend that I do know anything about him. They're talking about
he must be a beast. Is he a big guy?
He was a big scorer at Weber State, okay. But the competition in Weber State, the people they
play. Is
that play,
Big Sky Conference?
I don't know.
I think it's Big Sky.
I mean,
they're out there with Montana and all them. Now, that you know what? Occasionally you'll get a guy who's just a great athlete from there. And that's what this guy – who was it that picked him again?
The Portland Trail Blazers.
Well, you know what? He's also a local guy, so they know him, and maybe they've had a chance to see him a lot more.
I mean, he put up crazy numbers in scoring, but I mean – I don't know.
Think about the
scouting report on him is he's a tenacious guard.
Yeah.
But Harrison Barnes went next.
Yeah.
Who's a small forward out of UNC who everybody watched, and he did it against the highest competition. So, I don't know.
I'm not a Harrison Barnes fan. Number one, you know I don't like Carolina. Yeah. But number two, he would have a great game and look like he was first-team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next game, he wouldn't even show up. And he'd get in foul trouble sometimes because he played very aggressive defense. He couldn't play. He's one of those guards that seemed to me really couldn't fit in all the time. Does that make sense to
you?
He was a pretty good jump shooter, and he could go to the hole a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, to me, seemed a little rough around the edges. In the semifinals, I think, of the national championship, he had a bad game.
Yeah.
And it came on a little bit late. But he was the reason I thought they didn't make it to the final.
UNC, I mean, they got banged around a little bit. Maybe Harrison Barnes had a little bit to do with that. But I feel like he did it on the highest level. He did it on the biggest stage. Whereas Damian Lillard.
Who's he playing? Yeah, nobody.
Yeah, I mean, but he put up crazy numbers. It could be one of those. Oh, God, his name's slipping me now. But
Who picked next?
Harrison Barnes went to Golden State.
That makes sense.
I like it.
Hey, San Francisco is a good place for him. You know?
Yeah.
And they draw, like, you know, they're not that good, but they've been good. And I'll tell you what, people in Oakland and San Francisco, they like sports. And they really like basketball in Golden State. And, you know, they fill that place up all the time. It's unbelievable. I don't even think they had a winning record. I mean, they're not that good of a basketball team right now.
Stephen Curry is the guy that I was talking about, who plays for Golden State.
Stephen Curry's a stud.
And Damian Lillard could be one of these kind of guys who he just put up crazy numbers on people.
You
and
know
now
what?
He's gonna do the next level.
Look at where Stephen went, Radford. I mean, you know, didn't he go to Radford?
No, he went to, oh gosh.
Who was the kid that went to Radford that was so good?
I don't know. Damian Miller went to, or Stephen Curry went to, like, oh, man, it starts with a D. I don't remember.
Roy, eat your breakfast, Roy. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm listening to Roy trying to figure out where Stephen Curry went. If you know where Stephen Curry went, give us a call. Our number is BR549. I'm Junior Samples, and
it's 240-317-7294. You haven't memorized that yet.
If you're a hee-haw guy, that's the only number I can remember, BR549.
Davidson. He went to Davidson.
Yeah, Davidson, Radford. What's the damn difference? Actually, people that go to Radford seriously can't go to Davidson because they can't get into school there. Davidson is like an Ivy League school. And that's where Curry went. And he was a great jump shooter. He plays good defense. He's a scorer. He's a one.
I can't believe I didn't
remember
that.
He's a one that can fire it up from anywhere.
Yeah, he's good.
He's probably legitimately a two.
And that's what I feel like Portland is thinking about here. They're like, yeah, he didn't play against anybody, but who does Davidson really play?
All right,
play?
Then Harrison Barnes. Then who went next?
Then Terrence Ross out of Washington, a shooting guard. he is athletic. He did. He brought Washington to the national stage.
Now, who drafted him?
The Raptors. So,
God.
The Raptors are terrible.
Who cares?
And we're
in Canada?
Yeah, we're probably not going to hear much about Terrence Ross, although he's a good shooter. But that Raptors team is just so bad that, I mean, you got a shooter, congratulations, but you guys need a lot more.
Who's next?
That.
Who's next?
Andre Drummond out of UConn. He's a big man.
Seen him play for a long time.
He's athletic.
Was he a senior or was he like a sophomore?
He's pretty
sure that he came up 2 or 3 years
ago.
Yeah,
he's not.
He was on that real good UConn team 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was like a sixth man that I remember. He'd come in. The kid, I think, is a New England kid, or he's from New York or Chicago. He's from the Northeast somewhere. Now, who went next?
I love Andre Drummond. Yeah. I love this pick.
How tall is he?
He is he's 6'11",
yeah,
275 pounds.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Out of UConn, he's a terrible, terrible free throw shooter.
Yeah, I know.
He's something like 29%.
But he plays with his back to the basket.
Yeah, he's got crazy. I mean, he's crazy. He's good around the boards. He's not the best touch shooter, but he doesn't really need to be the way that he plays.
He's going to have to
improve his perimeter jump shot, and he's going to have to improve his free throws if he's going to make it to this next level. But he's got the raw talent to be able to do it, and here in Detroit, he might be able to do something. The next pick is what I absolutely love.
All right.
In the New Orleans Hornets, and I love what the Hornets did in the first round.
It's hard completely, to say New Orleans Hornets. I hate that.
Is Austin Rivers out of Duke that we were talking about. I love this pick.
He's got the DNA, too. It's not like his dad wasn't any good.
I love the 9 and 10 pick.
And by the way, Doc Rivers is the class of the NBA, in my opinion. I love that guy.
And if you want to talk about winners, that's one of my winners right there.
Now, Austin was their number one scorer at Duke, which is kind of hard to do. Because
and he's a one-and-done guy. He's a one-and-done guy at Duke, which you don't see very often. You see that at UNC a lot.
We saw it out of the guy that broke his pelvis riding a motorcycle, who's now an analyst on TV, and I'm trying to think what his name was. He was the guy that got in trouble out of college in a hotel room with what's the guy's name? Matt Kemp. When they were playing in an all-star game. Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name. It's not Robinson, but anyway, you see this guy all the time. But there are one-and-done guys.
Yeah. No,
Stevie
Francis
was a one-and-done guy.
I mean,
out of the University of Maryland.
I mean, there's lots of one-and-done guys now, but not necessarily out of Duke. Duke University, Coach K is one of those guys who really takes the 3 or 4 year guys. But I'm not saying saying Austin Rivers shouldn't have gone out because he can do whatever the heck he wants to do. And Doc Rivers is his dad, and Doc Rivers is not going to tell his son.
He knew he was ready. No, Doc would have wanted him to go back to Duke if he needed another year.
Exactly.
And if he got picked in the first round, and he's in an offense and a defense that he can play in.
Mm-hmm.
Be ridiculous for him to go back to college.
I love that he went to the Hornets. He's going to play immediately. He's going to be paired with Anthony Davis. That's going to be a heck of a combination. And then they add Darius Miller later in the draft, who's also out of Kentucky. So Anthony Davis has some more familiarity there.
Now, Doc Rivers played at Marquette. He played for Big Al out there. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure he's a Chicago guy. New Orleans is probably the kind of city he's comfortable in going down there and seeing his kid because they get behind their sports guys.
Yeah, they really do.
They really do. And it's a great community. It really is. We're going to be back here in the next segment. We're going to be talking about – we have an interview with Ryan Vogelsong. For those of you who don't know who Ryan Vogelsong is
– You will.
you can say this year he's the number one starter, even in front of Matt Cain. But he's probably number two, number three on their list. You got Madison Bumgarner, you got Matt Cain, you got Vogie, you got Timmy Lincecum, who finally won a game this past week, pitched seven
big
innings,
time
a shutout ball. But we're absolutely going to be getting into that here real soon. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Thief, that's all, folks.
And Andre Drummond only spent 1 year at UConn. I'm an idiot.
One and done.
He just played at a level, and I watched him enough to make me think he was there.
He was there more than Calhoun was. Calhoun was in. He was sick all year almost.
So he spent 1 year.
Poor Jimmy Calhoun.
The kid. I love the pick, and I love the Austin Rivers pick.
Listen, later on, we're also going to be talking about the National League and American League All Star picks for this coming week. We got the All Star game coming up in a week. Week in 3 days, and my favorite team in the world, because my buddy coaches it, manages the team, Bruce Bochy, is coming to D.C. For 4th of July festivities. They'll be here the 2nd, 3rd, and I'm sorry. They'll play the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. They come in on the 2nd, and I'm excited because I took 3 days off. I arranged to have 3 days off for my team during then because it's a good time for kids to go home and catch their breath when they've got doubleheaders every other day. I mean, these kids play hard in my league. They really do. And they kind of get used to ball at the next level. And a lot of these kids play at the next level, which is really a lot of fun. But let's finish up with NBA. Mm-hmm. Who are the surprises after that that you know that somebody got a really good basketball player with the draft?
Well, I think there's two teams that you have to look at to say, I can't believe that you got him there, and wow, I can't believe that you took him there.
So what you're trying to say is somebody did real good, and somebody, in your opinion, didn't do very good.
Well, yeah, the Celtics took Jared Sullinger and Fab Melo back to back. Now
isn't Fab Melo that kid that got in trouble at Syracuse for something?
Yeah, but. He
not that there's anything
is
wrong
a
with that
beast
because we all make mistakes.
He's a beast, and the Jared Sullinger pick that they took Jared Sullinger. I mean, these picks were back to back. So you take Jared Sullinger, the red flag issues with his health. You know, everyone passed on him. He was supposed to be a top 10 pick, top 5 pick, maybe the year before, and now he got hurt. Talking about his back, his knees. I don't know if his knees are right. But you take him, and then you take Fab Melo right after, and it's okay. You know, you almost have an insurance pick with Fab Melo, and if you get a healthy Jared Sullinger, you're getting a heck of a ball player, and paired with Fab Melo, and a man named Kevin Garnett, who just re-signed with the Boston Celtics.
I like the way you
Celtics.
Said a man named Kevin Garnett, meaning that he's older than you. That's good. I like I like your respect there.
But
he is a man.
These three guys
can be a weird man sometimes.
Fab Melo, Jared Sullinger, and Kevin Garnett are going to, I mean, if you thought the Celtics were taking a step back next year.
Well, we talked about it. We thought that they might not be as strong as they were this year, thinking they were kind of peaking.
Yeah.
But you're right.
I mean, I love it now. Man.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, love these picks.
Well, you got to be three strong across.
I love this draft. Now, Ray Allen, we'll see what Ray Allen does. There's been talks of him going to the Heat.
Danny Ainge is the GM in Boston, right?
He's probably not going to re-sign.
Kevin McHale's still vice president. I think he's executive VP of personnel or something. You know what? The Celtics, you can say what you want about the Celtics. You could be a hater. You can hate all these square-headed white guys up there if you want to. But I got to tell you something. They like to play basketball in Boston.
They do, and they're pretty good at it.
They're real good at it. And Kevin Garnett kind of had an on-and-off year this year. Yeah. I don't think Kevin Garnett's...
He's getting older.
Yeah, but I don't think his game's over.
But, no, neither do I.
With Fab Melo, he doesn't have to rebound.
Exactly.
Like
now you're adding Fab Melo and Jaren Sullinger to Kevin Garnett. Now Kevin Garnett doesn't have to be the crazy boarder.
Did Sullinger go to Ohio State?
Yeah, and he's the guy that
I
loved.
That guy, wasn't he like a Big Ten Player of the Year or
he's
something?
He's a beast, and he spent 2 years there, and he was my pick. I had Ohio State winning the national championship.
You loved Ohio State.
Because of this guy.
You loved Ohio State, Roy.
And
you had a little like
I don't like Ohio State, but I loved Jaren Sullinger to the point where I went against my better judgment and took Ohio State.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Go ahead.
The Knicks.
Yeah.
Because this is a New York station. Mm-hmm. Who did the Knicks take? This is very important to me. They didn't have a pick, did they?
No, they took
I thought they didn't have a first round pick.
They had I mean, it does, they
Jared
Saltalamacchia. They might as exactly. They might as they didn't have a first round pick.
They took Bernie Kosar.
They took some guy that I can't pronounce, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
He's
his
probably
name.
From overseas. And he's probably going to be a player that's going to have to develop.
But it doesn't matter. That's the thing with the Knicks.
Aren't they deep enough now? They just need to get better.
Well, they're going to have to make some moves, but they're not going to be able to do it through the draft. And same with the Heat. The Heat and the Knicks are in the same boat. I have them both as losers in this draft.
Yeah.
But there was no real way that they could have been winners.
Well, the Heat, we talked about what's going to make the Heat better. Free agents wanting to come there.
Exactly.
They're older guys.
And I feel like
These guys got, you know, unless some guys ripped them off mm-hmm. that's handled their money, they're all worth $100 million or more. So they're not really playing for cash. You know, they're not going to have a heart. They don't have to go to... You know, Chick-fil-A on you know, 2 for Tuesday to get, you know, 2 sandwiches of Chick-fil-A. These guys can eat out every night. My point is that none of them, they all want a ring. All of them.
Yeah.
All of them want
this
a
is
championship.
This is why Ray Allen is even considering going to a team that he's publicly displayed his hatred for,
but
he wants a ring.
But they'd love to have Ray Allen.
Absolutely.
Because if Ray Allen did 15, 20 minutes off the bench for Miami, with everybody sucking it in, with all that talent driving to the basket, Ray Allen would just set up on the three-point line and boom.
And think about the Heat running even for just a couple minutes a game,
right?
A shooter line with Mike Miller on one side and Ray Allen on the other side. Who are you going to step up for? You could run 5 guards there.
You think Billy Donovan was feeling good when Miller was hitting all those shots? Now, let me ask you this. Uh-huh. Did Mike Miller, he went pro after his first and only year in the league, I'm pretty sure. I mean, there have been a lot of really good, decent NBA players that are one and gone.
Mike Miller was Rookie of the Year when he came out. I mean,
he was ready.
A shooter.
He was ready.
He's a good player.
And he hasn't changed.
And
he hasn't gone anywhere.
And he's good to come off the bench. I mean, you saw it in the finals that he's a solid shooter off the bench. He's not much of a he's not a starter at this level.
Do you know what what amazes me as a fan, Roy? And I'm just talking about the guy that watches basketball quite a bit, but not enough. I watch a lot more college basketball. What amazes me is the size of these guys that can hit jumpers from 25 to 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. Durant was in the 3-point contest.
When I watch Durant play, when I watch, you know, the big guy Garnett play, when I watch all of these guys shoot, it's amazing how good it is. Even LeBron. Mm-hmm. Now, LeBron historically doesn't have a great 3-point percentage.
But he can shoot.
But he can freaking shoot, man.
And Kevin Love?
Oh, gee. Well, Kevin Love is a jump shooter.
I love Kevin Love.
Everybody does. And I'm going to tell you know who he reminds me of? You know who was a great jump shooter that's my age? Bill Walton.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Walton's father. For all you people out there that know who Bill Walton is.
Kevin Love is a complete basketball player.
Yep.
He's not as fast and quick and athletic as you might want him to be, but the kid, I mean, he had a gajillion triple-doubles a couple years ago, and he continued it into last season.
Well, he had about a month this year where he just was on fire.
Yeah, and he's going to continue.
I think he got hurt early, too.
He's going to continue to play at the level that he is. He's a Tim Tebow-esque kind of player in the fact that he has those intangibles, that heart, that motor that keeps him going, that might make up for the little bit of athletic ability that might be lacking, like a LeBron James or so many of those other guys.
That sounds good. Hey, all right. So anybody else you want to talk about with the NBA before we get to something else?
Oklahoma City Thunder. Perry Jones III.
Now, wait a minute. Where did he go to school? Because I know that name.
Perry Jones III. He went to Oregon.
He's the guy. Is he a guard?
Yeah.
You know what? I remember this guy.
People had him top 10.
He's not even that big, is he?
No. Yeah, he's not, but he's a
shooting guard.
Exactly.
He's another guy like
the
guy.
I'm sorry. He went to Baylor, not Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He went to Baylor.
Oh, you know what? He's the guy that's buddies with RG3. That's how I know his name.
He's a beast.
Well, he was at their tournament games.
And he a lot of people had him in the top 10. I don't know why I said Oregon. It's Baylor. It's a bright yellow jersey.
Well, you know what? That green Nike garb.
It's those bright jerseys.
Hey, listen, I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Roy Edwards talking NBA on my show. We're going to be around until 12 noon today. It's another hot one here in the D.C. area. It's a hot one in the New York area. It's a hot one in Boston. It's a hot one all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. If you're without power, find somewhere cool to go. Get the fan. You know, if you're without electricity or power, you can't plug the fans in. The only thing I can tell you to do is stay hydrated. Yeah. It wouldn't hurt to go to the grocery store. You know what I love about working in a grocery store? We've talked about this before. For my first-time listeners,
what is that?
It's 72 degrees in a grocery store year-round, and there's beautiful women walking up and down the aisles in
That's
the grocery
very true.
Store. And if you get hungry, there's food in a grocery store. And I got to tell you something. A grocery store is a great place to kill 2 hours. It's also a great place to kill 2 hours, people, would be the library if it's not powerless. If the library is powerless, it's probably 200 degrees in the library because it's always too warm in a library anyway. But you're listening to Bruce Hall. You're listening to Roy Edwards.
Yeah, Perry Jones III. He's a small forward out of Baylor, but he plays little, and he is a scorer. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be good there. Both New
you
York
know,
teams.
They needed a guy on the outside because if you remember, it was like their three, four guys across
yeah,
that did the
he,
most damage.
He adds a little bit of help down low as well.
Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back with some baseball. Please talk about no one, someone, anyone. You and me have a disease. You affect me. You affect me. I'm
We're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And Bruce, before we get into anything else, I just want to wrap up the NBA draft. With you're asking about the New York teams, and the Nets and the Knicks. Both didn't do very much in the draft because they have a lot of financial issues with the Knicks and Amari's contracts not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But the Nets went all in on Williams, and it looks like it's starting to pay off.
They're going to get somebody?
Because there's a man named Dwight Howard.
God, I've heard so much enough about him, but is
he going to go to Brooklyn?
He should go to Brooklyn. Where's Dwight Howard from? I'm pretty sure he's from New York. If he's not, hey.
He's about to be.
There's plenty of addresses in Brooklyn that would be
more than
happy to have your name on it.
You
know, Dwight Howard, to me, when he was a rookie, remember
he's
his rookie
Georgia.
Year? Remember his rookie year, how good he was?
He's still good.
He could rebound. He could shoot. He could run the floor. He could play defense. He blocked shots.
And
what happened to him?
Well, he didn't want to play in Orlando anymore, I think, basically what it is. Because he still led this Magic team to the playoffs this year. He got hurt.
Yeah.
But I feel like that hurt had a lot more to do with, I don't want to be here.
Yeah. Well, you could kind of tell because he got his coach fired. Even though he said he didn't.
He did.
Yeah.
And now he's going to leave.
Yeah, now he's leaving, so maybe they'll hire the coach back.
He's gone, and you know what? I feel like this Brooklyn draft we're going to take – they call it the draft and stash. When you take a guy from who's a little bit, you know, is not as developed, and you take him from overseas, and you're
yeah.
like, this guy could be good in a couple of years.
Some of those guys get pretty good.
Yeah, it's a draft and stash. We'll throw you in the D-Leagues and see what you do.
Who's the best guy in the last 3 or 4 years you can remember that came from overseas that did so well?
The guy who just won an NBA title a couple of years ago?
Yeah, who was that? From Dallas?
Yeah.
Talking about Nowitzki?
Yeah, Dirk Nowitzki.
Did he really develop overseas? I thought he was already playing over there.
Well,
but you're right, though. We did bring him in from Europe, and they owned the rights to him. And I'm pretty sure they didn't draft him. They did draft him in the first round. And it was because they had a late draft choice
now,
that year.
Dirk Nowitzki, though.
God, what a – now, there's a guy that's 7 feet tall that plays like a guard.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. And he won an NBA title, and that's when last year everyone was like, well, I need to get myself a Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah,
and then we
need to get a big, white, tall guy from
people went crazy,
Germany.
And they stretched on a bunch of – I mean, Washington stretched on an overseas guy in Jan
Vesely. Is that
Vesely.
Jan Vesely?
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
He's okay, but he's not where we drafted him. And this year you saw more of going
so
back.
So why don't you have the general manager's job in D.C. instead of the guy that's there? Ernie Grunfeld. No offense, New York, but he might have been a really fun player to watch when he played for the Knicks, but he's not much fun to watch as a GM.
He's getting there. We'll see how things
getting
play
there,
out.
He's older than I am, sake.
I mean, he as much
if
as,
he's not getting there, he's going to be in an old folks
as
home.
As many dumb mistakes that he's made, he's started to cover them up. It's not like what's his name, Vinny Serrato.
Welcome to the NBA, people. Vinny this Serrato, is what we have to deal with.
Vinny Serrato came in and he made a lot of stupid
Vinny
mistakes.
Vinny Serrato had pictures of Dan Snyder doing really bad things, I think.
Vinny Serrato walked in, made a lot of stupid moves, and said, "See you guys later." Ernie Grunfeld came in, made some stupid mistakes, but then he fixed them. He got rid of the arena's contract, where in New York, they would love to get rid of Amari's contract or lower it or do something with it to free them up so they don't have to do these draft and stash.
You know what? A lot of that was because the Madison Square. I read an article about that, believe it or not, about 2 months ago. You know, there are a lot of people who make decisions on the Knicks. You know that. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden Group is one of them. They love Amari Stoudemire.
I love Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, I know, but my point is they loved him a lot more, I think, than the GM did. You know, when they cut the deal. Because he was, you know.
He was the savior.
Well, and the coach. But see, here's the thing. You can get anybody you want to come to a team and have them under contract. That doesn't take a lot of doing, okay? But now you have to turn him over to a coach who has to be able to work with him.
Yeah.
If you can't work with a guy, what's the point in signing him, mm-hmm. right? These guys aren't like NFL players. NFL players, even if you're a number one or two, you're a team guy. Because if you're not a team guy, they got a number two or three that will start instead of you.
Yeah.
They don't do that with a guy like Amari Stoudemire.
And he really shows when there's only five people on the court, right, as opposed to 22.
See, that's one of the reasons I don't like the NBA so much. Because if you have a couple of crybabies on a team, mm-hmm. they run the team. Yeah. I mean, they really do.
And it's hard to get rid of them, as we see with the Knicks, these contracts that they have. Amari's not going anywhere. You're stuck with Amari whether you like it or not. I like Amari.
Right.
Now, if you can get him away, if you can find a way for him to play with Carmelo, and now you're talking about Jeremy Lin coming back, if he's the guy that, you know, some people think that he is and that he can play point guard for this team, then maybe you got something there.
He hasn't been the same since Steve Nash was his point guard.
But you're looking at Brooklyn.
Isn't that right, though, what I just said?
With Amari?
When Steve Nash was his point guard, mm-hmm. he lit it up.
Well, when he came over, when he came over to the Knicks, they expected to see
Jeremy
that.
Is Jeremy Lin going to be the guy?
Exactly. Can he be a Nash kind of guy?
That's
can he
question.
Run that team?
That's a good question.
And the way that the Knicks paid Amari, that's the guy that they need because that contract's not going anywhere. And one last thing in the NBA before we move over to the golf tournament.
Oh, boy, golf.
Is Scott Brooks, the coach of the Thunder, he agreed to terms, it's looking like, and he's going to be back, which was a big deal.
Can I say
deal.
Something? He is a great coach.
He is.
You know what? I saw one Thunder game when I was in Memphis visiting my son 2 years ago. And I'm telling you, you know, that Memphis Arena fills up every night. I don't know if you know that, but they sell it out every night. There's like 23,000 seats in that arena. It was like a college playoff game that night because Oklahoma City had their guys, you know, the young guys, and so did Memphis. Mm-hmm. And it was like watching a college game, I swear to God. They were flying up and down the court. I mean, the coaches were making great substitutions at the right time. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it went into overtime, and Memphis won the game. But I'm telling you, you know, the younger the teams are, mm-hmm. the more I get into it.
They're a lot more fun
Well,
that
they
way,
fly
yeah.
around, mm-hmm. and they play defense.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what?
But you know the star teams, too. I mean, as much as everyone loves to hate the Heat, I mean, Miami, that stadium is rocking when the Heat are playing. Yeah. And they're the star team, the less of a, oh, we're going to play defense. Although LeBron James, play defense.
They won it in five games playing defense, buddy, mm-hmm. because they shut down two or three guys. You know, they let Durant. Durant was going to get his 30. Mm-hmm. You're not going to stop Kevin Durant.
You can't.
But you can stop everybody else. Yeah. And they did. And you know what? My hat's off to those guys. I'm so happy for all of them because now I don't have to listen to their crap anymore.
Yeah.
That's not the only reason. I'm happy LeBron got a ring.
The crap's not going to go away.
No, but it's not going to be like it was. Because then you always have the haters.
Yeah.
But that's because you got in the NBA, you're either an L.A. Laker guy or a Boston guy or a Knick guy now or a Heat guy.
Yeah.
Or a Dallas guy,
or you cry as a Wizards guy,
or you're a DC NBA basketball fan, and you basically wake up in the morning and just shed tears for 3 minutes.
I have my other. I watch the Knicks a lot, obviously.
Hey, thank God for the Nationals.
And I watch the OKC a lot.
All I got to say for DC sports is thank God for the Washington Nationals baseball team. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
But if the Knicks
thank
don't look
you,
out,
Allah.
If
whatever.
The Knicks, if the Knicks don't look out, then Brooklyn could be the new. I mean, they're obviously the new guys in New York. But these guys, if they get Dwight Howard and then you keep Darren Williams.
It's going to be like the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giant baseball teams.
And you have Lopez on that team.
Let
they
me tell you something.
Good.
New York
very,
should have,
very good.
New York should have two teams in every sport. New York has got, what, 20 million people within a half an hour there?
And
or
they've
something?
Shown that they can keep their teams there. And they've shown that they can get stars all and
right.
compete.
Hey, listen. Roy, I've never enjoyed... I've never had a more enjoyable NBA talk than this one. And hopefully this will almost be the last one we have this year because we're getting ready for the National League, American
well,
League,
Major League.
Well, hopefully
we have one more NBA talk, and it's Dwight Howard signing
with
Brooklyn. The
Brooklyn. And if he signs with Brooklyn, boy, that's going to light up the papers up there. Let's take a look at this leaderboard. And this is a very, very strange leaderboard. And why don't you start me off? Start at the top.
Well,
is that guy with a funny name winning Brendan DeJong?
Yeah, I'm glad that you handed it off to me to try to pronounce this guy's name.
Well, I handed it off to you because the New York Post doesn't have yesterday's results in it.
Well, it's,
and I'm sitting here. I read the Post every day. I read the New York Daily News every day. I love New York papers because you guys report everything.
Yeah.
We never get all this funky murder, suicide, weird stuff going on in our papers. The Post doesn't print anything that the Democratic Party doesn't like.
The Post goes to sleep in New York. You know, you don't sleep in Brooklyn. There's no sleep till Brooklyn.
Hey, it's like Vegas.
So
hey,
they get everything.
All night,
they get everything in there. The city never sleeps, right? And
that's
the Washington Post goes to sleep at 8:30.
So talk to me. Who's in the lead? Brendan DeJong.
It's Brendan DeJong.
Yeah, he can't win.
And
there's no way he wins.
Shot 2 under yesterday.
Yep. Hey, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Congressional Country Club. First of all, we had these storms roll in the other night around 9 or 10 o'clock. It was literally 2 hours of tornado warnings, not watches, but warnings. Mm-hmm. And winds were up to 80 to 90 miles per hour. You know, I told my story about going into Hooters in Maryland, which is a good hour away from Congressional. This line of storms went through at 70 miles per hour. It was over by midnight, but it did a lot of damage. And there were two people in Virginia killed in Northern Virginia. There was somebody killed in suburban Maryland. There was somebody killed in Washington, D.C. Really, one of the least safe places you can go is your car. Because if you go out in your car and stay there, yeah, you won't get hit with lightning, maybe. But a tree could fall on top of your head out in the street. There are so many beautiful areas of the D.C. metropolitan area with all these big hardwoods. And a lot of them are over 100 years old.
Yeah, I was about to say.
There's
trees around there. They're old.
But some of these trees at Congressional were uprooted. Mm-hmm. And... you know, they had a wind shear go through there. Now, yesterday, for the first time I can ever remember on the PGA Tour, the people were asked not to come. Well, a lot of people showed up anyway, and then they were turned away. They made sure they didn't say that on TV because, you know, that cost them a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Now, if you had Saturday tickets, you're allowed to go today. They're going to start playing at 9 a.m. this morning. They've already started. And we could probably even follow some of the early guys now, but let's not. Let's talk about the leaders. Brendan DeJong.
Brendan DeJong. It says today he's minus two right now. So he's in the lead. He shot a 68, a 69, and a 69.
What is his total right now? Is he minus
206.
Is he minus eight?
He is minus seven.
All right, so he's 7 under. Who's behind him?
Another name that I can't pronounce, and it's Sung Yul No.
Well, we don't care about him. He's not going to win.
From Korea, I think.
Who's the next guy?
Tiger Woods. Ever heard of him?
Tiger Woods was one stroke back coming into today for his own golf tournament. And let me just say this, because I'm tired of all the haters. I'm tired of all the people. Listen, I'm a Tiger Woods fan, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care that the kid did what he did. You know, am I happy about it? No, but I'm not one of his best friends either, okay? I like what he does for the game of golf. And I also want to tell everybody, we're going to have an interview with Ryan Vogelsong that I did at the end of spring training, right around the 1st of April, here coming back. So if you want to hear that interview, Ryan is putting together his second great year for the San Francisco Giants. So stay tuned for that. Now keep going. Who's next after Tiger?
Yeah, Tiger Woods shot a 67. Bo Van Pelt shot a 67 yesterday.
Now let me ask you this. You said DeJong is already out on the course. Where's Tiger? Is he out yet? No.
He's probably not. I can check on that.
He's
for
probably
you.
Not teeing it up to about 12 or 1
yet.
O'clock.
And Hunter Mahan follows it up. He shot a 73 yesterday. He's minus 5. Billy Hurley, minus 5. And we'll be back.
We'll be right back. It's Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAN. Hall. I got Roy doing a number for me now. I love Roy, man. The more I'm around Roy, the more I love him. Now I know why your dad likes you. You know, I wanted to strangle him about 2 months ago, but now I'm learning to love him. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall, talking to Roy Edwards. Got Matt Lynch in the hole over here, taking care of everything for us. In about 45 seconds, we're going to start an interview I did at the end of spring training with a guy that I love, Ryan Vogelsong. He has 14 straight quality starts this year. That's incredible. He started the year out on the DL for like a week. He missed his first start of the year. Hasn't missed one since. If you pull up Ryan Vogel's song on Google or MLB.com or SanFranciscoGiants.com, follow along with me. You'll see this guy got drafted back in the 90s. He's, you know, spent 11 years in the minors, played in Japan, did all kinds of things, ended up coming up 2 years ago with the Giants, ended up making the All-Star team his first year, full year in the major leagues, and now Ryan is doing exactly what he did last year, which is winning ball games for the Giants. And the Giants, by the way, are in first place. They're a game out in front of the Los Angeles Dodgers. They just set a Major League Baseball franchise record with their third straight shutout the other day. They shut out the Dodgers 3 games in a row. And for those of you that liked the Giants and kind of followed them a couple years ago when they won the World Series, Timmy Lincecum won his first game. He pitched a shutout. Here's what we had to talk about in the dugout in Arizona this spring.
This is Bruce Hall. I'm sitting in the Giants dugout in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'm talking to a gentleman that a lot of people didn't know until last year, Ryan Vogelsong, starting pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. Vogie, thanks a lot for sitting down with me. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Always a pleasure.
Anyway, last year was just kind of the beginning, it's a new beginning is what it was to you, because you spent so many years in the minor leagues, you worked so hard, you'd played for probably 10-plus years and didn't ever know if you were really ever going to make it. Then all of a sudden, there's an injury to Barry Zito pretty early in the season, wasn't it? I want to say it was in April. And you get the call. Now, you're not a lefty, obviously, but you know what? You came up, and to your credit, I mean, you put together some phenomenal games. Tell me what it was like that first time up. Well, first of all, tell me how you found out, and then tell me how that worked out for you. And just give me a little history of last year, because I'm sure you know it a lot better than I do.
Well, actually, I had pitched 2 games already in Fresno, and I was sitting in the stands in Vegas, and I was actually supposed to pitch the next day Toronto Blue Jays Triple-A teams in Las Vegas. And I was sitting in the stands doing the charting that the starting pitchers do in between starts in the minor leagues. And the guy that was charting next to me was, doing the scores on his phone, the ESPN tracker or whatever. And he goes, "Hey, dude, Zito just got hurt." And, you know, the first thing that happens is you feel bad for the guy, or you're just going, well, he'll be fine, you know, it's not a big deal. But, and, you know, I never thought that I was getting called up, because in that situation we had a bunch of guys that were throwing the ball, you know, pretty good in spring training, and then we all threw the ball pretty good the first time around and in Triple A. And I'm like, you know, it could be anyone. It doesn't mean it's going to be me. And so I go in the clubhouse after the game, and the manager said, hey, Zito got hurt. Just keep your cell phone on tonight, and, you know, I might be calling you. And I said, all right. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to pitch tomorrow, so, you know, I'm not going to change anything. And actually went outside, and in the minor leagues on the road, usually you wait for the hotel shuttle to come pick you
up. Right.
And Bobby Evans called me and said, hey, you know, we're going to have to DL Zito. We're calling you up. And so I go back into the clubhouse to start packing my gear, and then the manager calls me and he said, hey, they're calling you up. I said, yeah, Bobby just talked to me. So, you know, it was an amazing moment for me. Obviously, I had been to the big leagues early in my career with the Giants, and then traded to the Pirates, and you know, spent, you know, 3 or 4 years over there in the big leagues, but never accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And then to be in the minor leagues and go to Japan for 3 years and feel so far away from the game over there. I mean, I know I was playing baseball, but there was times where I never felt further from the major leagues than I did over there. And then to come back in 2010 and struggle in AAA and get released, you know, in the All-Star, around the All-Star break by the Phillies, you know, the 7 days before I actually signed with the Angels for the end of 2010, you know, I wondered pretty much every day if I was ever going to play again.
Right.
Let alone get the chance to pitch in the big leagues again. And kind of all that ran through my mind in about 5 minutes while I was packing my bag. And I can remember walking out of the clubhouse that night, and I told myself, I said, I'm going to do it right this time. You know, I'm not coming back here. And it was an amazing year, man. Things fell into place for me. Obviously, the first half was amazing. Made my first All-Star team, which, you know, being through what I went through, I never expected that ever to happen.
No, I totally agree. You know, last year I was, you know, I come to spring training every year. Last year I was here like 10 days. And, you know, you don't know this from Adam, but Boach and I played Little League ball together. So, I mean, I've been a big fan of his for a long time. And I saw you pitch in spring training last year, because the first time I saw you, my question was, well, who the hell was that guy? Because he was throwing the crap out of the ball. and you know, and you had a distinct name, Vogelsong, which is a different kind of a name. And it's a pretty name, and it's a beautiful name, but it's like different. So that stuck in my head. And then I saw you didn't make the big league club. And then all of a sudden there, you're back in there. And I went, you know what? I know that guy. He's going to be fine. And I told everybody, now there's a lot of, you got to understand something. When the Giants won the World Series 2 years ago, they made a lot of fans all over this country, because it was really kind of a blue collar fun thing that everybody did. But you were probably throwing the ball off the bump as a starting pitcher, quote unquote starting pitcher, that you can be in spring training, as good as anybody I saw throw. And so you pitched two games in Fresno, then you went to San Francisco, got the call up. Did you go up right away? Did you go that night?
Actually, I flew the next morning, and the team was actually here playing the Diamondbacks. And so I get to the field. I actually couldn't get in the stadium. The security guard wouldn't let me in for about 15 minutes until I, you know, finally had to make some phone calls, and they had to convince the guy that it was okay I came in the field. So that made me realize how far I had been away from the game. And
that usually happens with little bitty guys, not guys 6'4", yeah, 215, 20 pounds.
I was carrying my baseball bag, and I had all my luggage with me, you know, because it was a travel day. And I'm thinking to myself, does everybody come to the field with this much stuff to see a ball game? But, you know, he was doing his job, and it was fine. So I finally got in, and I was actually in the bullpen that night. I almost got in because we had an extra inning game. And we flew to Colorado the next night, and Timmy was on the hill. He actually took a no-hitter that night into, like, the sixth inning or something like
that. I think I remember that series.
Yeah, he pitched game one. He took a no-hitter into, like, the sixth or seventh inning. And I think we were winning 5-1 or something like that. And they said, hey, Bogey, you got the ninth. And I just remember going, all right, this is where it starts. This is where it starts for me. And I came in and, you know, had a I actually finished his inning. I finished the eighth, came in with a guy on second, got a guy to pop up, and finished the ninth, and that's kind of started the ball rolling.
You know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it, but that was really very smart because they wanted you to get your feet wet out there when you're not, you know, going to be on the bump as a starter. And then for the most part, you just took Barry's spot in the rotation, right?
Yeah, well, we had a couple off days in there to play with, kind of like we do this year. So they didn't need
it. Yeah, the first couple of weeks are kind of neat this year, right? Yeah.
So we had a couple off days in there where they didn't necessarily need a fifth starter, but actually the night before, you know, that day that Zito got hurt was like the second inning. So Mota ended up throwing like four innings the night before. So the bullpen was kind of thin for a couple of days. So I spent some time down there, and then, you know, we actually went back to Pittsburgh, and it's just kind of funny and ironic how, you know, I leave Pittsburgh, come back to the Giants, who I was with originally, and my first start back in the big leagues after, you know, 6 years or four and a half years or something like that was back in Pittsburgh, and, you know, got the win, and it was a great day.
That's a nice ballpark they got there, too. It's about 3.5 hours from my house, and I remember that first game. And you know, you threw, did you give up, like, one run maybe total in that game?
I think I gave up two, but I gave up one in the first, and then I didn't give up another one until the sixth.
So now you're getting the ball every sixth game, every fifth game, but, you know, once a week, basically. Yeah. You know, and how did that first month go for you? I mean, I know how it went, but tell all the people that listen to us just what that first month was like for you.
Well, actually, the next start was in New York, and I didn't throw well. I gave up, like, four runs in four innings or something like that, or five runs. I gave up three-run home run in the first to Beltran, and then Ike Davis hit a two-run homer off me in, like, the third. So we ended up winning the game in extra innings that night, but I didn't throw the ball well at all. And I was going, oh, man, here we go again. But so my next start after that is Mother's Day at home against the Rockies. And it's my first start as a Giant in AT&T. I had started there as a Pirate, but never in my home stadium as a Giant. And took a perfect game into the sixth, actually. And came out in the middle of seventh and got a standing ovation, and it's still
you know, few goosebumps, right?
Aside from being announced at the All-Star game, the greatest moment I've ever had on a baseball field, and I tell you what, that kind of rocket jetted me into the next month, and you know, after that it was like four, you know, nine consecutive outings I gave up two runs or less or something like that, and
quality starts became something that you got used to. Well, the great thing about what I see when you're on the mound is you go after hitters. You pitch to contact. You don't play around. You don't nibble. You pretty much go after them. The other night I was watching you throw, and the only problem you seemed to be having was you're getting a little bit out in front of your arm, so you were up in the zone a little bit. But you know why I like that? Because you're throwing fastball. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm Ryan Vogelsong. Here's my fastball. Good luck.
Well, one of the things I kind of changed through the years was I try and take myself to this place on the mound where I don't hear or see anything but the catcher's mitt. And I try and hit that thing as many times as I can as long as I'm out there. And, you know, if that's a fastball, curveball, changeup, whatever I'm throwing, I try and keep my focus on that and that alone. And it worked out pretty good for me last year.
We'll be back soon with the second segment of that interview. That's Ryan Vogelsong is just an amazing guy. You know, to sit in that dugout and listen to this guy who's probably told that story 50 times in the past couple of years, you know, he has incredible. The good news for me was that talking about his experiences, absolutely, he loved sharing that with me. And we're going to get into a little bit more in a second. I've got a little announcement to make here first. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. If you want to give us a call during our last segment of the show when we're talking Major League Baseball, the number to reach us is 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Also want to send you over to Augie's Family Italian Restaurant in Larchmont. Go to augiesitalian.com. That's augiesitalian.com. We'll be right back. This is Bruce Hall with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. But a good time, and it don't get better.
toast to all of us who are breaking our backs.
We're back. This is Bruce Hall with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm with Roy Edwards here. We're listening to Ryan Vogel's song with me around the end of March in the dugout in Scottsdale, Arizona. And he's talking about his first year in the league, first full year with the Giants, where he made the All-Star team last year. Here he is.
Ryan, now, when did we lose Buster? Was that was early. Was that May?
Yeah, it was May. I actually pitched the next game the day after that.
He was catching you some too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he caught me three or four times before he got hurt. And, you know, he caught me a bunch here in spring training. And the one thing that stuck out to me was, you know, sometimes in spring training you got the starting catcher for the big league team back there and non-roster guys come in. And it happened to me in the past a few different places. And they just kind of don't care. You know, it's you're not going to be on the staff. So they're just kind of back there going through the motions. And he never did that. And, you know, he gained my respect right away from day one because of that. And I actually, you know, after one of my first games, I came in and told Rags, I go, he's the best catcher I've ever thrown to in baseball. And, you know, for me to say that about him, and he's such a young guy, and you know, he hasn't had that much experience at the big league level yet.
It's so nice to have him back healthy, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, he's such a big part of our team, you know, not only offensively, defensively, but, you know, he's kind of our leader in the clubhouse. And, you know, the catcher, it kind of seems like that role kind of leads towards the catchers most times on teams. And he seems to kind of be that guy for us.
Now, listen, you know, obviously, it was your first year with the Giants big league club. They got a staff kind of like nobody else's. I mean, in Major League Baseball, you know, there's a lot of teams that hit a little bit. There's a lot of teams that hit a lot, and they don't end up playing in the postseason. Talk to me a little bit about your relationship with Dave Righetti. What do you think about Rags?
Well, I actually was in the big leagues with the Giants before, way back in 2001. And
I knew they drafted you. I didn't know you made it to the big leagues, though. Is that right?
I did. 2000, I was a September call-up, and then 2001, I got caught up about a month into the season there, too. And Rags and I actually started in this organization at the same time. They hired him in 98 after I got drafted. And
Giants were going through some changes back then.
Yeah, in 99 he was our minor league pitching coordinator, and him being close to San Jose, he spent a lot of time there, and I was in San Jose for the first half of the season. So we developed a really good relationship, and you know, he kind of became like my father figure in baseball. And when I got called up, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with him putting in, you know, good words for me and saying that he thought I could handle it. And even after I got traded, we stayed in touch quite often. Even when I was in Japan, you know, I talked to Rags or through email. And we have a great relationship. And I think that had a lot to do with my success last year. You know, I was very comfortable with him. Gardy and I, Mark Gardner, the bullpen coach, and I were teammates.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys here I played with, Dunston, you know, he was my teammate, JT Snow, Jeff Ken, Aurelia.
Kind of at the end of their careers, too. But these guys all stay with San Francisco as coaches, which says a lot for the organization because they're familiar with what they want as a Giant player, right?
Yeah, and it's such a great organization. They do everything the right way over here, and it makes you want to be a part of it. And that's kind of why I signed back here last year as a free agent. You know, the comfortability with Rags and the other, you know, Wotus was the bench coach the first time I was here too. So, and the Sabes was here, Tidrow, Bobby Evans, everyone in the organization was the same. And it was not more of, I thought, well, I'm going to have the upper hand because they know me. It was more of a comfort thing for me that I didn't have to come in here to camp and try and prove who I was.
Exactly. I mean, they know who you are and you know who they are. And listen, relationships are what life is about. I don't have to tell you that because you do a lot more than just play baseball. Let's talk a little bit about the All-Star game. Now, I'm trying to remember what your record was hanging at. You might have been 7-1 or 8-1 at the time. And I remember basically picking that team and being buddies with Boach from time to time and knowing he was coaching that team, you know, going to manage that team. I was coming out here to Arizona anyway. But the first thing I ever did was I wrote down my list of pitchers. And, you know, they keep 30-some-odd players on each squad, because everybody pitches an inning and everybody doesn't get in, and all the hitters don't play usually more than two or three at bats. But when did you find out, and when did you even know that you, in the back of your mind, were you even thinking about the All-Star game? And then how did you find out about it?
I wasn't thinking about the All-Star game. I kind of being around the block, so to speak, I've learned that, you know, you're only as good as your next start. And I tried to keep it pretty simple. Right. I tried to keep it simple last year, where even if I had a good game that night, you know, it's pretty simple for me. I come in, I ice down, I watch the rest of the game, and as soon as that game's over, I'm mentally on to my next team. And I tried to keep it like that. And, you know, obviously I started hearing the grumblings of, you know, should he be an All-Star? Has he had enough innings? You know, this, that, or the other thing. And I never really let it creep into my mind. You know, as
well, you led the National League in earned run average for a while, and you were second for like 3 months.
Well, as it got closer, I kind of said, man, that would be unbelievable. Because like I said before, it was something I never thought ever was going to happen in my career, especially the way I had been throwing the ball. And so we're in Detroit. It's the first week of July. We're in Detroit, and we actually had a really bad rain delay. And I was pitching a day game the next day, and they were announcing the team the next day. And during the rain delay, Boach goes, hey, you know, I want to see you in the office real quick. And I thought he might be telling me, get my stuff on, that I might have to go down the bullpen and come in and pitch, because it was like 2 hours. And Z was back then, and he was pitching on short rest anyway. So, but it wasn't. I went in there, and he said, hey, you're not only one of the greatest stories I've ever seen in baseball, but you're going to be an All-Star now too. And it was an amazing moment. You know, I thought it wasn't like he was lying to me, but it almost didn't seem real, you know. And but the hardest thing was I couldn't tell anyone, because they weren't announcing the team till the next day. But they said, hey, we don't want to tell you tomorrow morning before your start. We want to, you know, let you sleep on this.
You told Nicole, though, didn't you? You had to tell her.
I told Nicole. I told her, you know, don't say anything. And and I called my mom and dad that night and told them, because they don't do Twitter and all that stuff,
God.
Facebook and all that. So I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere past them. But those were the only three I told. And so the next day in Detroit, I'm out on the field warming up for the game, and they had the selection show up on the big screen. And, you know, they announced it. And there was actually a lot of Giants fans in Detroit that weekend.
There's a lot of Giant fans everywhere.
The place when the Giants fans went nuts in the stands, and it was a great feeling.
Yeah, Detroit wears the same colors as the Giants, too. I mean, they got the exact same colors.
After the break, we'll be back with the end of the Ryan Vogel song interview. It's a great interview, great finish to it. Now, Roy Edwards has some things to talk about.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, 240-317-7294. You can go ahead and call in that number again, 240-317-7294. You can also reach us at BruceHallSports.com or on Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. On Twitter, follow him, Bruce Hall Sports. Follow me, Sportsman Cave. And you can always reach us with the hashtag BHSports on Twitter. We'll be right back on the other side. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We're going to finish the rest of the interview with Ryan Vogelsong from the end of spring training this year. See what he has to say.
Anyway, you get through in the All-Star game. Did you pitch an inning?
I didn't.
You didn't pitch. Well, you know what? That worked out good. The nice thing about coaching the All-Star game is Boach came out of that suite, didn't he? Because he was one of the most important things about being in that All-Star game, because you've heard all the stories about the guys that hit in Home Run Derby and then they're done for a month. They're not staying inside the ball. They're swinging too hard. They're doing this. They're doing that. But the nice thing about managing that game is, you know, you can A, put the guys out that belong out there, especially from your team, and B, you can make sure your guys come out of it a little sweeter when it's time to start playing again.
Right, and he had talked to me, you know, the days leading up to that, and he said, you know, I have to, you know, put a plan into the commissioner's office saying who's going to pitch when, and I have to have a plan if we go extra innings. And right now you're my first guy out of the bullpen if we go extra innings, but if we get a lead or we're losing, I'm going to get you in there. And I told him, I said, listen, you know, we got guys on this All-Star team that are bullpen guys, and that's what they do. And, you know, if it's a close game, it means a lot now. You know, you win the All-Star game and your league gets home field advantage in the World Series, and that's huge. It was huge for the Giants the year before. And so I was fine with that. You know, we had tremendous guys down that bullpen, Johnny Venters, Kimbrel, you know, Joe Hanrahan, Brian Wilson, guys that do that every day.
You haven't had my boy Tyler Clippard out there. He came in, gave up a line drive to left. The guy threw him out at home, and he got the win because you all got a couple of runs in the bottom of the inning.
Yeah, but, you know, so the fact that those guys are doing what they do on an everyday basis in the All-Star game, that was fine with me because, you know, I've been coming out of the pen every once in a while, but it is hard to transition from starting the bullpen. It's not easy. And, you know, if we would have gotten extra innings, it would have been awesome to get in there, but you know, the fact that I didn't, I was still there. You can't take it away from me. I'm still going to be an All-Star for the rest of my life. And after the game, the first thing I saw Boach, and he goes, hey, just make sure we win this thing so I can make you the All-Star starter next year. And I said, that sounds good to me, buddy.
It doesn't get any better than that. Well, you know, I know Boach, and you couldn't be luckier having a players coach like him to begin with. You couldn't be luckier having a pitching coach like Rags that's been through it. I mean, he was a great pitcher when he played ball. But the thing, anyway, you finished the season like 13-7, I think. You know, you get the Giants struggled last year. They really struggled with their bats. The rotation was fine. You know, you guys did your job. The Pens seemed to do their job. When you've got an OBA at 300 or less, you're going to struggle. And they've made some changes this year. And it looks like, you know, you're going to have some more runs per game behind you this year. I mean, I really like the changes I've seen. The end of the year, you know, got behind you. Now, how long you been married to Nicole?
Let's see. It'll be 7 years this November.
Yeah, I spoke to Nicole on Twitter before I ever talked to you because she's real good about getting back to people that are nice to her and everything.
Yes.
Hey, but the thing of it is that now you got another season in front of you. You got that season behind you. You're established. When the fans see you go out there, there's going to be, you know, they're going to be behind you 100%. How do you feel going into this season right now?
Well, I feel good. You know, I messed my back up here a little bit about a week before camp, and I've been rehabbing this thing pretty good every day since we got here. And like you said, I pitched a couple innings the other day. I'm scheduled to pitch again Saturday, and I'm going to miss one turn in the rotation. But it, like you said and we talked about earlier, there was an off day, so it sets us up okay. So I'll make my first start, the first home series against the Pirates, and you know, it's gonna be different. You know, I think I snuck up on some people a little bit last year, especially early. You know, I think some people took me for granted, and respectfully so. I mean, the last time I faced a lot of those guys, I was different. I didn't throw a lot of strikes, and I was pretty good hitting. So I think I snuck up on some people. That obviously is not going to happen anymore. But I think if I just, you know, stay with what we talked about earlier, you know, the focus on the mound is different. The concentration in the game is different. And I think that's what got me through last year. And I think, you know, I have some room for improvement mentally on the mound. I think I did still had some times last year where I had some mental lapses in games and it cost me a couple runs. And so I think I can get better than that. But I'm just going to try and approach it the same way and just, you know, be mentally strong in games and try and hit that glove as many times as I can. And you know, the old adage is after the ball leaves your hand, there's not much you can do. And I'm just going to try and control the things I can control.
Well, you've got great movement on your fastball. I've always noticed that. And you got a nice hook too. When you can put that curveball where you want it, that just makes your fastball even that much better. Do you have a change up yet? Do you throw a change?
I do. I throw a circle change, and it's actually probably it's gotten better here over the last couple of years. Some days it's probably my, you know, number two pitch. You know, some days it's my fourth pitch, and you know, I do throw a cutter too. That sometimes that's my second pitch. It just depends on the day, and that's one of the things that's nice about having four pitches. If one's not working, usually the other one is, and usually the third one is, and that's what you attack guys with that day, and that's part of the chess match of being a pitcher versus a hitter.
Ryan, where do you make your home in the off season?
I live about 30 minutes outside of Philly, a little town called Downingtown. I live in a house about 10 minutes from the one I grew up in, and it's nice. It's out in the country, horse farm country, and it's peaceful. I get the best of both worlds. I live in a city in San Francisco for 6 or 7 months, and go home to Philly, outside of Philly for 4 months, and live in the country, and so it's a nice change.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, how long you been married now?
It'll be 7 years, I think. So November 05, yeah, it'll be 7 years coming up.
And it was when all this stuff happened to you last year, that was big for Nicole too, wasn't it? Because she was right there with you every step of the way.
Yeah, it was. Sometimes I think the things that were going bad in my career sometimes were harder on her to watch me struggle. And, she did all the trips with me. She did the minor league send down, and, we're going into Indy and flying back and forth. And, she went to Japan with me all 3 years. And, she's been through the mud with me. So last year was just as gratifying for her as it was for me.
Ryan, I want to thank you for sitting down with me and sharing all this with me. It's been really a lot of fun. And I'm going to see. Now, listen, you guys are going to be in my town 4th of July weekend, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th, or it's the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th. Boach spent 6 years there. So when I see you next, you make sure you keep one evening available so I can drag you and Nicole out to dinner if she makes a trip, okay?
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
This is Ryan Vogelsong, National League All-Star last year in 2011. And this is Bruce Hall with Bruce Hall Sports saying, so long. I'll see you on Sunday.
That's it. That's it with Ryan Vogelsong's interview. We're gonna have a lot of baseball coming up here in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're going to get into some baseball real quick here. By the way, it's Old Timers Day today at Yankee Stadium. Yep. Names like Joe Pepitone. It's unbelievable. Everybody, Bucky Dent's there. Paul O'Neill's there. Just all the old Yankees are playing in a game, obviously, before their game today. And if you can get a ticket, or if you can get out there, you need to get out there and see that. It's probably going to be 95 to 100 degrees out there, but it's still worth it. And hopefully they'll have plenty. Hopefully they have plenty of water out there at the same time.
If you needed another reason, if you needed to go outside,
yeah. If you need another reason to go outside,
or another reason to take the Yankees,
I got the Yankees and the Mets both today. I took them yesterday, and they both won. Hey, let me tell you, Hiroki Kuroda, dude, he's money.
He is. 11 Ks.
He's just money, sick. Period. He's money. And it's guys like that that are going to make it so when CC goes down like he has, and, when Andy Pettit goes down like he has, and when Mariano goes down like he has, they got guys that just step right into place and take over. We're going to go over the standings here at the end of this, but I want to get over the results from yesterday real quick. Then we're going to give out our picks for today,
yep,
which we do every week. And I got to tell you, I've had a good week. It's been a great week for baseball for me. I already said the Yankees and the Mets both won yesterday. The Mets won their fourth in a row. Early in the week, the Yankees lost Sabathia and Pettit, we talked about. Yesterday, Hiroki Kuroda shut out the Central leading White Sox for 7 innings. Only gave up 3 hits. And got 2 really good innings from his bullpen. Yankees won 4-0 at Yankee Stadium. What a surprise. Curtis the Grandy Man Granderson and Robbie Cano both hit bombs in support of all that Kuroda would need that day. Now, Philip Hughes is facing Gavin Floyd later today. I'm taking Phil Hughes. I think he's, even though he hasn't pitched great all the time, I think he's on the upside. And I think Gavin Floyd and some of the White Sox starters are kind of going the other direction. It's what's amazing to me is in the Central Division of the American League, the freaking Indians are right there. How good can that league be? Hello? How about not very? Speaking of shutouts, the Mets got a great performance from none other than Johan Santana. Over in eight innings, he gave up just three hits. They shut out the Dodgers. For the fourth time, the Dodgers have been shut out in their last five games. And I hate the Dodgers so good. Santana dropped his – if the Dodgers don't come back to Brooklyn, they can kiss my rear end, okay? Santana dropped his earned run average to 2.76. So he's making a pretty good argument for Tony La Russa to maybe stick him on the All-Star game selection on the roster next week. Mm-hmm. How about Ike Davis? Jesus, this guy couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat earlier in the year and he was hurt. He had a double and a home run, three RBIs. They got all the runs they needed from him. Now, Dylan Gee starts tonight for the Mets against L.A. ace Clayton Kershaw at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And I got to tell you, that's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
I left that game alone. I said I had the Mets today. I had to pass because they just won the last two. L.A., they're at home. They need to win one game.
With their ace in the
mountains. Yeah, and if Kershaw loses tonight, hello. In the American League yesterday, the second-place Cleveland Indians picked up a game on the White Sox, beat up on the Baltimore Orioles on a day when Baltimore honored former manager Earl Weaver. Earl Weaver was one of my favorite managers of all time. He never bunted. I hate bunting. If I'm playing for one run, fine, I'll bunt. But if I'm playing for two or three or four, what Earl Weaver always said was a three-run homer and a pack of cigarettes. That's all he ever wanted. He smoked like three packs of cigarettes in the dugout every game, a lot like Jim Leland of the Detroit Tigers. I don't think Jim's ever quit smoking. Toronto Blue Jays are 7.5 games back of the Yankees. They beat the Angels 11-2. I lost this game. I can't believe they beat up the Angels that bad. Brett Laurie is probably going to make the All-Star game for the Blue Jays. And there's a good chance that their big home run hitting outfielder will make it too. He's starting to warm up now. He's only hitting 250, 260, but I think he's got 20 bombs already. Started out really, really bad. I'm talking about Bautista now. The Twins got a rare win yesterday. Scott Diamond has been phenomenal. He's run his record to 7-3. His earned run average, only 2.63. This is a team whose team in earned run average is almost 5. He's probably going to make the All-Star team. He's going to be the only Twin to be on it. The final score of the first game in Minnesota, they had a doubleheader. It was 7-2. In the second game, the Twins got another win. A rookie named Cole DeVries threw basically six innings of shutout ball, and they held on to win. The Tigers got seven innings of shutout ball from Rick Porcello and a three-run bomb from Austin Jackson. Jackson's been playing great this year. The Tigers beat the struggling Rays 6-2 in Tampa. You know, the Rays don't lose much in Tampa, Roy. They usually win in that gym they play in.
Yeah.
Because it's not a field. It's a freaking gym.
It's an elementary school gym.
Yeah, they need to move.
If you hit the roof, it's a home run.
I'd like to see the Rays move that team, to be honest with you. I'd like to see them move anywhere except for Tampa. Even with a doubleheader sweep, the Twins are 13 games below 500, dead last place in the AL Central. Now, rookie pitcher Martin Perez made his debut in front of a sellout crowd in Arlington, Texas, and the Rangers, behind a three-run bomb by Josh Hamilton, which was his 25th of the season, beat the Oakland A's in front of their crowd 7-2 yesterday. The Rangers seem to have righted their ship after a strange couple of weeks. They really struggled for a while. You know, they started out hot as a firecracker.
Yeah. Starting to get back on top, though.
They're okay. You know, you can.
And there's not much competition in that.
Let me tell you,
6.5 up after playing like they were.
Well, you know, we both picked them to win it this year. Yeah. They're going to be playing with the Yankees this year in the finals, no question, for the pennant in October. Adrian Beltre, who's going to make the All-Star team probably as a vote-in at third base. He had a home run for the Rangers in the win, too. Former All-Star, this is a sad story, actually. Shawn Figgins was an All-Star 3-4 years ago with the Angels. He hit a walk-off sac fly playing for the Seattle Mariners, scored Dustin Ackley from the University of North Carolina in the 11th inning to give the Mariners their second walk-off of the series against the Red Sox. So if there's anybody playing worse than Seattle, it's the Red Sox. Figgins is only hitting 180. I can say that on a New York station.
Well, they're starting to climb.
They suck. Stop it. Figgins is hitting 181 this season. So the All-Star game is probably not going to be in his future. Final score of the game was 3-2. One of my favorite teams this year, as you know, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Won their fourth game in a row. Again, another winning streak. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals for the second day in a row in Busch Stadium.
And now back from Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati is only ahead because they beat the Giants behind a Matt Latos two-hitter yesterday.
And they're going against your boy today, who we just heard from.
Ryan Vogelsong. If Vogey beats them and the Pirates win again, the Pirates will be tied with Cincinnati Reds for first place. That probably hasn't happened in July for a long time. I don't think the Pirates have been in first place since Bonds and Bonilla, early 90s. Early 90s was the last time that they were in first place in July. The Cubs bullpen came through for a change. The Cubs beat the Astros at Wrigley Field 3-2 yesterday. Rookie Anthony Rizzo, who everybody's talking about for some reason because there's nothing else to talk about in Chicago. Not with the Cubs, anyway. The Cubs bullpen pitched 3 2/3 innings, saved the win for Matt Garza, who is probably going to be traded before the deadline. Matt Garza can pitch. He was a Tampa Bay Ray. He struggled in Chicago, but who wouldn't struggle in Chicago? Yeah. Their defense
sucks. It's a black
sucks.
Hole over there.
Their defense sucks. Their hitting sucks. They suck.
I mean, this little series that they have here with Houston, I mean, that's just a crap. I mean, who wants to watch these games?
You know what? Nobody.
That's crap right there.
Well, listen, the people that are going to Wrigley Field right now that were wearing Cubs attire need to get in free because what they're doing in the heat, it's not cool in Chicago either. It's 95 degrees. Marlins outfielder, this is a good kid, Giancarlo Stanton. I always call him Giancarlo because I like the way it sounds. But evidently the proper way to pronounce his name, since he changed it, it's not even your damn name, is Giancarlo. He hit a monster bomb, drove in two runs. Marlins beat the Phillies 3-2 in Miami yesterday. Jose Reyes went 2-for-3 and scored two of their three runs as the Marlins pulled to within 7.5 games of first place Washington. That's as close as they've been lately. Hunter Pence homered for the Phillies, had three hits, but they lost their fourth game in a row. Now, they got Chase Utley back this week.
And the Phillies just traded Jim Thome to the Baltimore Orioles for two minor leaguers. So,
so they're rebuilding. They're rebuilding.
Well, you can definitely. I think that's the first move of many that you're going to see out of Philadelphia that's going to prove that they're going to be sellers and are rebuilding.
Well, we're going to go over the National League All-Star picks, and we're going to try to get the American League in too this week. Thinking what Roy and I both believe are going to be the guys that actually we see at the All-Star game. But I got to tell you, if the Phillies were smart, they'd be planning for next year.
Yeah, and with that loss, they fall to 10 back.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any better.
Which is not pretty.
It's not going to get any better because they're pitching. Even Cole Hamels is slipping a little bit. Milwaukee Brewers, who I can't stand because Bud Selig, no matter what he says, still owns the team. And, you know, Ryan Braun should have sat out 50 games at the start of the season. They won 10-2 behind, what a surprise, two home runs from an extremely big, strong-looking Ryan Braun and one from Cody Ransom. And a good pitching performance from another rookie pitcher, Mike Fiers. As much as I hate to say it, it looks like Braun's going to make the All-Star team. But I wonder if he would have if he had served his 50-day suspension for failing his drug test, which he did. He failed it, period. San Diego Padres scored 8 runs, Roy. Sometimes they go a week without scoring 8 runs. Yeah. They beat up the Colorado Rockies 8-2 in Colorado yesterday.
Which Colorado right now, I mean, I just watched the whole series with the Nationals playing there, and there must have been 50 runs scored.
Well, here's the thing. Where they put the humidor that they use for their balls is obviously not working anymore. Because last year, the last 2 years, really, if anything, there weren't a lot of runs scored at all out there, and the humidor must have been working. Balls are flying out of there.
It's crazy.
And it's hot there, too, which makes a big difference. Listen to these two names. I just want you to remember them. Yasmani Grandal and Alexi Amarista. Does anybody know who they are? Because they both hit two home runs for the San Diego Padres yesterday. So maybe the Padres are bringing their guys up.
Maybe they just need to play in Colorado all the time.
Maybe they just need to move to Colorado. Edinson Volquez, who used to be with the Cincinnati Reds, gave up only 3 hits in 6 innings, got the win for the Padres. How many games do you think the Padres are back in the West, Roy? 15. That's right, Roy. You guessed it right. 15.
Good job.
Can you tell I'm sprinting through this? The National League East leading Washington Nationals, lost a tough one in Atlanta yesterday, losing 7-5. It was 110 degrees on the field. Nat starter and probably all-star Steven Strasburg suffered from heat exhaustion, had to come out of the game in the fourth inning. Mike Minor got the win for the Braves. It was only Strasburg's third loss of the season. He's 9-3. And believe me, if Strasburg doesn't make the majors or doesn't make the all-star team, it's going to be an upset. All right, let's go over the All-Star picks real quick. Yep. Here are my picks for the All-Star game in Kansas City as follows. Now, there's a guy that writes for the New York Times, and I got his picks right here, and I'm going to compare his with mine here when I'm done. And he seems like a pretty sharp guy. I only had a couple that I didn't agree with him on, but let me go through mine first, okay? Then I'll go through his. His name is Joel Sherman. For those, you know, he's got a little column that he writes on Sunday called Hardball. I like the guy. I like the way he writes. He's a pretty good guy. But anyway, here you go. In the National League, I got Paul Goldschmidt making the team. They really don't have any all-stars. This kid Smiley, Smiley that got whacked yesterday, okay, that was supposed to not get whacked. I just put a question mark by his name now because I'm not happy with him anymore. But I thought he might be the one guy that goes. Atlanta, I've got Dan Uggla, who is doing things better than he's ever done.
Yeah.
Michael Bourne is having a great start this year, and he's starting to hit the ball. He's almost hitting 300. He's stolen like 23 bases. And Craig Kimbrell, who is the only relief pitcher for these guys that's doing a great job. And there may be – they may put Chipper Jones on as an honorary.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Because this is probably going to be his last year. And I would say that Uggla, Bourne, Kimbrell, and Chipper Jones will be the four Atlanta Braves. The Cubs, I only see Starlin Castro going, the shortstop who has ADHD, who forgets to turn around like when the pitch is being thrown and forgets how many outs there are. And I got him going. I don't see anybody else making the team from them. Ryan Dempster would have made it easily, but he's on the DL. And is he all right? Ryan Dempster would have made it hands down. Cincinnati's got four guys going, in my opinion. They got Joey Votto going. They got Johnny Cueto, who's having a great year. In my opinion, Joey Votto, if Cincinnati goes to the playoffs, he's the MVP. You know, he's just unbelievable. His OBA is like 450. He's like David Wright, only with power, a lot of power. Johnny Cueto, solid. Jose Arredondo is having as good a year as any setup guy in the majors. And the guy that throws 100 to 104 miles an hour, Arnoldis Chapman, is going to make the team. He's their closer. He's a lefty. He throws just sick fastball, sick curveball. Colorado has one guy that's going to make the team. Now, you could make an argument for Todd Helton, but I can't do it because it's Colorado. Cargo is going to make the team. He's having a great year. Houston, it's going to be one of two guys, either Jed Lowry, who's been on the, you know, he's been in the news for a lot of different reasons, and Jose Altuve, who's their little bitty second baseman who's got to be 5'5" or 6". 150 pounds max. One of those two will make it. I don't know which one. The Dodgers. Andre Ethier will make it. Clayton Kershaw will make it. Chris Capuano should make it. Doesn't mean he will, because Tony La Russa doesn't like the Dodgers either. So he may just scratch one of those. He's not going to scratch Kershaw because he needs the left-hander to win. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And Kershaw could go an inning or two with no problem. Giancarlo Stanton, the only Miami guy to make the team. A lot of people think Reyes will make the team. Reyes isn't having a very good season, and Miami pretty much sucks.
Yeah, Miami struggles.
So I'm going to leave him out of it. Giancarlo Stanton is going to be in the home run competition. He's already accepted. Milwaukee, Ryan Braun's going to make the team.
It's your buddy.
Because he plays for the commissioner of baseball. Aramis Ramirez will make the team too. David Wright, are you ready for this? 455 OBP. Hello. 45. Mm-hmm. 0.5 times out of 100, he gets on base.
And he's leading all third basemen right now.
If they go to the playoffs, he could be your MVP.
He's leading in the vote count right now for third baseman.
Yeah, R.A. Dickey's going to start, in my opinion. Johan Santana should make the team, but he could not make the team. In Philly, two guys will definitely make it. Another one might. Hunter Pence will make it. Carlos Ruiz is hitting 360. He's going to start. And Cole Hamels. See, that's a manager situation. A lot of guys don't like Hamels. He's kind of a you-know-what. and I'm not going to say the bad word I was going to say, Pirates, Andrew McCutchen, James McDonald, possibly A.J. Burnett, who was cast away by the New York Yankees, Joel Hanrahan, and Jason Grilli. Three or four of those guys are going to make the team. Jason Grilli.
McCutchen's a lock.
McCutchen's a lock. McDonald's a lock, too. Mm-hmm. But Burnett, probably not. Hanrahan, maybe. They may take Grilli. His numbers are better. He's sick. His numbers are like 100 against. Kyle Loesch will make St. Louis. Tony La Russa's coaching the team. Loesch will make it. Holiday will make it. Beltran will make it.
Rafael Furcal?
He may bring Furcal.
He's leading right now in the shortstop.
Well, you know what? If the Cubs take somebody send somebody besides Castro, Furcal will make it. The Padres, Houston Street, the closer, only guy to make it. The Giants, Melky Cabrera, Matt Cain, and Ryan Vogelsong, whose interview you just heard, should all three make it. Gio Gonzalez of the Nats, Steven Strasburg of the Mets, and my favorite, who I put on the All-Star team last year, Tyler Clippard, should make the game. I love Tyler Clippard. I love that guy.
He's great.
And he's taken over as the closer for the Nets.
And he's doing some work. And hey, before we get out of here, Gerald Wallace of the Brooklyn Nets has signed or is about to sign 4-year, $40 million for the Nets.
All right. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll see you next week. Oh!